I'd invite you to open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6 is what we're going to look at. And this morning I'm going to read out of the Clear Word Bible. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Enoch had this same faith. He lived a life of obedience, perfectly dedicated to God, and was taken to heaven without first having to die. One day his family and friends looked for him where he usually visited with God, but they couldn't find him because God had taken him to heaven. Enoch pleased God while he was still on earth, before he was taken to heaven. It's impossible to please God without having faith. In fact, even our confidence that God exists is based on faith. To have faith means to believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I would invite you to please kneel as we pray and seek the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath day, this day that you have set aside for us to come together to worship. We pray that you would be with those who are not able to be here, those who have chosen not to be here. We ask that your word would be put in their hearts, that each of us would remember that coming together is a time that we can lift each other up as we study the word together. We ask that you would be with those who are suffering losses today. We think of Charlene Hughes and her daughters as they've lost Keith. We ask that you would continue to go with them, to hold them up, and be with Sue Poley and her children as they are suffering the loss of Bob. Father, our hearts reach out to each one of these people, wishing that they didn't have to go this route, but we long for that day when Jesus will come and reunite us with our past loved ones. And so we ask that you would help us each to be ready for that day. I pray that you will be with Aretas this morning as he brings to us the word. As we continue our walk with Jesus, that each one of us would be blessed. Father, we thank you for Sabbath, and we ask that you will be with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. It's always so nice to be here and see so many faces that we don't get to see often. So welcome everyone who's here. We're happy to have you. And today, our sermon, Walking and Growing with Jesus. Let us pray before we go into it. Father in heaven, we ask for your presence as we dive into your word. Please guide us and show us the message you want us to learn, and just help us to connect with you in a special way through the Bible and through the message you have for us in this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember walking, and we used to walk, we were not very prepared. Like, we didn't have hiking shoes. We didn't have poles. We didn't have special backpacks with water. Like, it wasn't very comfortable to walk. Maybe just tennis shoes. But at the orphanage, we would go hiking up to the mountains with our Pathfinder Club. And I remember those times because we really random, like, out of the blues, Saturday night, 10 p.m. You have 15 minutes to go to your house, grab a change of clothes and a backpack and a water bottle, and we're going up to the mountain. And so we'll all just go to one to our houses and get ready and start the journey and start walking 10:30 p.m., and it'll be 4 or 5 hours walking up the mountain, steep hills, losing our breath. It's so hard to walk. But we certainly enjoy that. I mean, back in the days, it was so hard. Why are we making us do this? But now, we remember those times, and I want to go back and do it. Probably with better hiking shoes and backpacks now, right? And a sleeping pad to feel really comfortable. But the walking part of it was what was interesting. Sometimes after, like if it was raining that day, it will be really muddy. And so those steep hills, we'll have to like climb and go up there, all covering mud. But those were really good experiences. So next day, we got to enjoy, you know, swimming in the river, and then going back down. And we'll have sore feet for 2 or 3 days after that trip. And it makes me think, is walking hard or is walking easy? Is it difficult? Like, what makes walking difficult, like, in our definition of it, right? Like, if we're walking, like, let's go out for a walk in the neighborhood. You walk for, what, 10, 15 minutes, you go back to your house. It's not hard, right? But if you compare it to going up to the mountain in the middle of the night, in the mud, with not special shoes, for hours, and then next day you have to come back, it's super hard. And the question is, where are we in our walk with Jesus right now? How would you describe your walk with Jesus? Is it easy? Is it hard? Is it like a walk in the neighborhood that you enjoy? Let me tell you about Gloria. Let's shift a little bit on our theme here. Gloria came to my house looking really happy and bright and strong. And a couple of weeks later, Gloria was feeling sad and weak. And so, meet Gloria. This is Gloria. For those who know me, you probably know by now that I love plants. And I love having plants in my house. Now, I have a problem. Not all plants live happily in my house because they get neglected sometimes with school, or I don't know how to take care of them, or it's just not the right temperature. I'm sorry. But I love those plants. And I bring them, and my wife knows I name them, and by now I have forgotten most of the names of them. But I love taking care of those plants and watering them and seeing them grow. So I bought Gloria because I wanted to put Gloria in Josiah's room. And I said, well, let me buy it ahead of time before Josiah was born and see if he's going to be happy. And he wasn't happy. And I was like, probably I shouldn't put this plant in that room. Besides, it's poisonous. It's not safe for children. So, okay, let's not put it in there. So I put it in the living room. And next to the door, I don't know if you can see in the corner right there. But it has some more sunlight. And then I researched, and their plants, they're tropical plants, so they like being humid. So like humidity, right? Spread it and then keep it mostly watered, and she revived again, and now she's happy and growing and thriving. But something happened with this other plant that is right next to Gloria. Now, I don't know if you can see, but right here, you see that toddler is caught? So this plant I bought like 3 years ago, and when I brought it into the house, it was super happy. It was a tiny plant, probably 1 foot, maybe. And it was happy for about 3-4 weeks, and then I guess the corner where it was in the living room didn't have enough sunlight, and it started to die. It was super weak, and it was just, and then I moved it to that spot where it is right now, and then it revived again, and no, it's, that one doesn't take as much water as Gloria. It doesn't like being watered at all, and this plant is just difficult. It's hard to keep happy, but it's also hard to kill, because it doesn't die, but it's just sad there. But you can see some of the leaves dying over there, and some of the yellow spots, and then this. So it started to the top started to die like 2 months ago, and I decided to trim it, thinking that, well, this is the end of this plant. I try to keep you, but I can't. And surprisingly, 2 little sprouts shoots started to go up, and now it's happy. It was happy again until then. These leaves down here started to die, and I'm like, what's wrong with you now? And so I realized that the plant is maturing, because those plants, you know, they have the thick stem, it gets really, so it's actually just growing, getting rid of those leaves to concentrate on the top ones. So I researched that, and now I understand that plant is doing fine. So this is a very resilient plant. Our next plant, though, this one's got a story. Hannah had a student whose parents moved from, where did they move from? Minnesota. They moved from Minnesota, and they brought this spider plant with them. If you have, you take care of spider plants, you know a little bit about them. But these spider plants are really beautiful, and they're really sturdy as well. So they like having babies, you know, all the little baby plants that grow. And so this mom had all these baby plants and took them to school as a gift to the teachers over during Christmas. But the teacher of the student that was supposed to give Hannah the plant forgot. And when they came back from Christmas break, the plant had been sitting on the desk all over Christmas break, not being watered, with no sunlight. And the plant was really sad and just dying. And the teacher was really sorry. Hannah, hey, I forgot to give you this plant. So Hannah took it home, watered it, and some sunlight, and the plant revived again. Now I have to tell you, this is not the plant. These are the daughters of that plant. So that plant, I tried to repot because it was looking sad. And when I took the plant out, I realized there was no dirt. It was all roots, and they were really thick. So I decided to get the daughters and replant them again and get new soil. And that was like a couple of weeks ago. So I had this plant. It was just a single plant. Put it in the room. And there was no sunlight. I didn't water it for like a month. I came back. Oh, I forgot about this plant. I took it out again. Put it in the window where there was sunlight. Watered it. And like 6-7 days later, a week later, I come back and I'm like, wait, there was just a single plant in here. Where did these 3 other plants came from? Within a week, this plant just grew and it was happy. What happened with this plant? I don't know. There was a change in it. It received more sunlight. It received more water. So I ended up, to finish the story of the nursery, I ended up getting Nepomuceno, which if I told you that story, we'll be here until tomorrow. But this plant is now in Josiah's room, and it's looking happy, and it's that one is really sturdy as well. It doesn't take much water or time to take care of, so it's there being happy. But what makes plants grow? For those, let's go back to, let's say, fourth, third grade, when do you learn about plants? I forgot. But if you learn about plants, you know that all plants need special things to grow. Like plants need water, need sunlight, need oxygen. So those are the basic things that plants need to grow. Need air, nutrients from the soil, right? I consider myself as a person who has knowledge in growing plants, just because at the orphanage, I used to work on the greenhouse, and I used to work on the farm, and working with growing vegetables, growing tomatoes, and growing cilantro, and all sorts of things that we grow down there. So I know how to grow things. Now, in the practice, I always fail. Because for the past 2 summers, I've been trying to grow tomatoes for Hannah, because she likes tomatoes. I don't like them, but I don't mind growing them for them. And I always fail. Now, I discover what my problem is. I've been getting, if you know how to grow tomatoes, they can be determined and undetermined, and I keep getting undetermined plants that grow forever and put them in pots. So that kills them, because there's a moment where when their roots are not growing, the plant's not growing, the fruit's not growing, they just die before you can harvest anything. So I've been failing on that. And I think, why is it, like, I take it to my spiritual life, why is it that even though I have knowledge on growing things and growing plants, I still fail? And then I ask the question to myself, what's going on also with my spiritual life? Is it possible that I know, although I have knowledge of Jesus and the Bible, that I might be like one of these plants that is just dying in a corner with no water, neglected? How is our spiritual lives? How are our spiritual lives? Have you ever thought, what's going on right now with me? How's my relationship with Jesus? Am I getting the right nutrients? Am I getting am I planted in the right soil? Am I on the right spot in my life? Am I receiving enough sunlight to be able to grow and thrive and bear fruit as a Christian? There's 3 things we're going to be looking at in our Bible verses today. Number 1, it is possible to walk faithfully with God. There's not a doubt of that. It is possible to walk faithfully with God. Number 2, we have a calling. You and I, we all have a calling. And number 3, God is the one who gives the growth. So let's take a look at number 1. It is possible to walk faithfully with God. Let's see the story of Enoch. And let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verses 18. It says, when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 100 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years. And then what happened? He died. What does the next verse say? When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. What is something that we can notice in Enoch's story that is different from everybody else's story in that genealogy? So we're looking at this genealogy in Genesis where the author, the writer, is telling, naming each person and telling his age and how many kids he had and how many years in total lived, and then that person died. But when we come to Enoch, then there's something different. We notice that the writer pauses, and this pattern that he's been following since the beginning, just the name and how many years that person was when he had the first son, and then how many years in total, and then died. For Enoch, the story is different. When he had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became, then he walked faithfully with God for 300 years. If I ask you, what's the age of the oldest person that you remember you have met ever in your life? Probably 100, 104. I remember a fake grandma I had was 104 when she died last year. So we know people that live 100, 104 years. And through your life of 104 years, that is so long, you live World War I and World War II and whatever war and so many pandemics and so many things that we live in our lives. And wow, it's such a long life. But these people are out there living 962 years back in the day. And that is almost 1,000 years. Realize that? That is a super long year, a super long life. And then Enoch, when he was 65, he became a father. But then he walked with God for 300 years. So now let me put it this way. It's Christmas. We enjoy Christmas. New Year's come. New Year's resolution. I am going to get closer to God. I'm going to read the Bible. 2 weeks later, you've already forgotten that you started doing that. I forget all the time. And it's so hard to do it for 2 weeks. Let me tell you, Enoch walked with God for how many years? 300 years. It wasn't 2 weeks reading the Bible and praying. 300 years. And so there's something that marks a difference in Enoch's life. You can read the genealogy. We don't have time to do it here today, but you can do it on your own time. And you're going to see how Enoch's story is, his name is the one that stands out in this genealogy. It's like a highlight. Like, we have to stop here and look at this person whose life was remarkable, whose life was different than everybody else. And we have to study his study, because it's just, what does Hebrews chapter 11 says about it? By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. And that's something that is key in the story of Enoch. Yes, this is in Hebrews, this is in the context of faith and how all the characters that are listed in there had faith and walked closely with God, and because of their faith, you know, they stand out. But when we connect this with Genesis, and we see that Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years, when everybody else lived for 900, and it's not mentioned that they were faithful to God, were they faithful to God? Possibly. Did they serve God? Possibly, yes. But Enoch was the one different, and he was different because he had a testimony. And Colleen, thank you so much for reading the clear version, because that puts a new perspective on it. When they went looking for Enoch on the place where he usually met with God, he wasn't there. He was not found. What's interesting about that version is that it says that Enoch had a place where he met regularly with God. And not only he had a place that he met regularly with God, people knew where that place was. So if you want to find Enoch, go under that tree. That's where he spends the whole day praying. That is why Enoch's story is different. Because he had a testimony. For Enoch, walking with God was like taking a walk around the neighborhood. Was easy, was pleasant. He lived his life. He enjoyed walking with God, walking with Jesus. And then we ask ourselves, is it actually possible to walk faithfully with God? Enoch was taken, he had this testimony, and his testimony was that he had pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Point number one, brothers and sisters, it is possible to walk faithfully with God, just like Enoch did. And then this verse leads to the second one. We have a calling. Just like Enoch had a testimony because he accepted the challenge and he walked with God, we also have a calling. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's see something that Paul is talking about in here about a calling. And my text is caught in there. I apologize for that. But if you find it in your Bible, it's verse 26, chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." We have the calling. And the thing is that when we look at Enoch's story, that he walked faithfully with God for 300 years, we want to compare ourselves to him, and we look deep into our lives, and we recognize that we're sinners, and that we are imperfect, and we think to ourselves, it's probably impossible for us to just walk with God for 300 years, just like in a, in fact, we don't even live 300 years. If we get to live 90, it's a long time, but it's hard for us to keep 4, 5, 6 years and moving forward, walking faithfully with God. How can we do that? Sometimes we just feel unworthy. And that feeling of unworthiness just keep us back, and we don't feel like we want to open our Bibles and read, and we don't feel like we want to kneel down and pray, and we don't feel like we want to go and apologize to that person that we offended, because we feel unworthy. And we feel like we cannot. Look what this Bible says. What this verse says. It says that God didn't choose what the world thinks he should have chosen. He chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And the weak things to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are. God purposely called us in this calling that we have. Weak as we are, imperfect as we are, God is still calling us to walk faithfully with him. And so it is possible for us to walk, point number one that we're looking at. It is possible for us to walk with Jesus faithfully. And if we compare our lives to some people who apparently had perfect lives like Enoch and went to heaven, well, we're probably going to find a huge difference. But the Bible tells me that even with my weakness and in all my imperfection, God is still calling me and choosing me to walk with him and to serve him. Doesn't matter how much I fail. Doesn't matter how unworthy. It's not about how I feel. It's about accepting Jesus and his calling in my life. And so he does that so that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of you who are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Do you notice that in Enoch's story, it's not about him? He walked faithfully with God, but what was the end? God took him. God was the one giving Enoch the strength to walk with him faithfully every day. in our calling that we are being called, in our weakness, God wants us to come to Him just as we are. And He is the one who's going to give us the strength to walk with Him faithfully every day. So that we are not the ones like, oh, I was so lost in sin, and then I came to Jesus, and because I came to Jesus, now I found salvation. No. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We're not going to glory in ourselves. We are weak. We are sinners. We are imperfect. We come to Jesus. He cleanses us. He forgives us. And He is the one who makes us walk faithfully with Him. That is what our calling is about. But now this church had a problem, the Corinthians. If we go from chapter 1 that we're looking at to chapter 3, let's see our third point today. God gives the growth. This church that Paul is talking to had a problem that was misleading them. Basically, brothers and sisters, he says, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for it. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? So Paul is saying here, God is choosing you and God is calling you to walk with Him. But you must have in your mind like really clear that you're still sinners. And it's not because of you, but because of Him. Like He is the one who's going to give you the strength. He is the one who's choosing you. He is the one who's calling you. So we must accept that calling just as we are. We don't have to get ourselves ready and do anything because there's nothing we can do so we can, you know, be acceptable in front of God. It's Him, the one who puts the desire in us to come to Him. And it's Him, the one who calls us and who chooses us. But these people in here, they were mere infants in Christ. And so I think back to my plants, and I think that plant that I had to trim the top, when I got it, it was a baby plant, and now it's maturing into an adult. That plant hasn't had it happy, easy. It hasn't been happy all the time. I have to trim it and switch spots and give it more sunlight and give it more water and give it less water because too much water is dangerous. Well, Paul is saying in here, brothers and sisters, you are mere infants in Christ. And Paul is making a point in here. God is the one who makes us grow. I imagine Enoch, when he started walking with God, after he had his first son in 65 years, when he says that he started walking with God, he was probably walking with God before that. But when he said in the Bible that he started walking with God, he probably didn't have not much knowledge. But he started walking with God, and he started growing. And his faith started growing, and his spiritual life started growing. And it was something that it was day by day that he was walking and every day praying and every day having this testimony that he, God looked at him and was like, Enoch, I like this relationship that we have. I like that we talk every day. I like that we meet every day. Let's keep that going, not just for 1 month, not just for 1 year after we're done reading the Bible, but for 300 years. And for us, we have the promise that we'll be with Jesus for the eternity. So it's not a temporary thing. It's something that we have to start doing now that we'll keep doing into eternity once we go to heaven. But what is the problem in here? Because I haven't mentioned the problem here. Brothers and sisters, you are mere infants in Christ. The problem is that there was discussion among them. Verse 4 says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, Are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it what? Grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things what? Grow. God is the one who makes things grow. And the problem with them back in the day is that they were debating, who should we follow? What should we do now that we have become Christians? What is the most proper way for us to grow? Okay, God had called Paul and Apollos to guide them. And they have come to know Jesus through them. And God had appointed them, hey, Paul, this is the plant I'm giving you. You're going to give it the soil. You're going to give it the water. But I'm going to make it grow. And that's what happens with us like Christians, as Christians. We come to church, know Jesus, we come to church. But we rely only and only on the church leaders and the pastors and the program of the church for us to feel like if our spiritual life is growing, like if we are connected to God. And if by any reason one of them, pastors or elders, happen to fail and makes a mistake, everything fails. And then the question comes, where is our faith based on? Is it on one person or is it on Jesus? And that is something dangerous that we usually do. And it's okay to trust pastors and to trust church leaders, because those are the instruments God had provided us with for us to as a church, as a community, to grow, right? But then Jesus, God, is the one who gives the growth. The pastor and the elder and the leadership of the church, we are the instruments. Jesus is the one who ultimately is going to make you grow, the one who is going to put the Holy Spirit in your hands. So it's something that you have, just like Enid, it's a relationship that you have to develop. It's not my responsibility that your spiritual life is probably like my dying plant in the corner. My responsibility is like, hey, you are in this corner where there's no sunlight here. And I'm going to put you here in the window. I'm going to put you some more water. And may Jesus help you grow. That is basically what Paul is saying in here. God is the one who makes things grow. Do you want to walk with God? Do you want to grow in Jesus? That's our calling this morning. Doesn't matter how unworthy we feel. Doesn't matter how many times we have failed. God is providing us with his word. God is providing us with warnings. We can see around our world right now. This is the time for us to wake up and get out of that corner where there's no sunlight from the Holy Spirit and where there's no water. Jesus is the water we need to be drinking right now. And he's inviting us to keep growing. Years ago, our church adopted a new doctrine, a new belief called Growing in Jesus. It's number 11. And the reason we did that is because we faithfully believe that once you become a Christian, you are called to not only believe in Jesus, like that there's a popular belief that once you're saved forever, whatever, and you do whatever you want. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that once you become a Christian and once you come to know Jesus, you have to walk with him. You have to grow in him. And if you've heard sermons about the fruit of the Spirit, you know that we have, as Christians, to produce those fruits because of as a result of the Holy Spirit being in us. So we adopted that belief because we know that once we become Christians, we have to accept that gift that has been given to us and not just come sit here in a pew every Sabbath morning, But go home and be a Christian. But go walking in the neighborhood, in our neighborhood, and be a Christian. Go to school and be a Christian. Go to the grocery store and be a Christian. Maybe we're having a bad day. Maybe someone wants to cut in line in front of us. Instead of cursing and just sending that person somewhere else, send them to Jesus. It's time for us to really walk with God and have that testimony that Enoch had, that he pleased God. So I just want to invite you this morning that as we give ourselves in loving service to those around us and in witnessing to his salvation, his constant presence with us through the Spirit transforms every moment and every task into a spiritual experience. Let us grow and walk with Jesus every day. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for letting us, giving us the opportunity and the chance to grow in you, giving us your word and giving us you who are living water. Just help us grow every day, oh Lord. If we've been discouraged sometimes for something we've done in the past, we know that you forgive us and that you are calling us just as we are to come to you. Help us be a witness to our community, to our church, to our family, and help us raise your name on high, O Lord, that other people can come to you through us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.